Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death.
God is a God who daily bears us up, right? So that's the idea that we want to focus on, a God who daily bears us up. Looking at Psalm 68. It's a bit of a long psalm, so we're just going to look at certain parts of it. But we'll keep that thought in mind. For the last month, as you know, I've been in the country of Bolivia, and Rob, one of our leaders, beloved leaders from the church as well, was with me for two of the weeks. And I was working with Yvonne Gutierrez, who has been our contact with CBM for many years and now has moved on to other things. But Yvonne pastors two churches in Cochabamba. The first one is a Spanish church in the morning and a Brazilian church in the evening. And there are lots of Brazilians, and we welcome Pastor Elgar and family and members from the Brazilian church with us today. But there are many Brazilian students in the different cities in Bolivia, and particularly in Cochabamba, and they are medical students. And they are studying there for a number of years, and Yvonne's church in the evening is basically made up of medical students. Yvonne's wife is Brazilian, and her family lives in Brazil. He has learned Portuguese over the years, speaks it fluently. And it's interesting, his reach out both to the Spanish community and to the Brazilian community. And, you know, lots of challenges in all of our world, but there are challenges as well in South America for sure. And one of the challenges we've heard over the last number of months is the situation in Venezuela. And it's interesting that in Bolivia, as well as in Peru and Colombia, many people from Venezuela have fled and are leaving the country to seek a better life elsewhere. They don't really want to go, but they feel like they have no alternative. And some of the individuals who work with Yvonne at his coffee shop that he runs also are from Venezuela. And there's one young woman named Paula. Paula would be, I guess, in her early 30s, and she has two children. And she is in Cochabamba, and she's fled to Bolivia because it's just, she feels there's no possibility of staying. There's no way to make a living. It's very difficult to even get basics to survive. So a number of folk, including Paula, have walked a long way to get to the Bolivian borders, and finally she makes her way to Cochabamba. And so I was asking Paula one day, now, is the situation as bad as it sounds like in the news up here in North America about Venezuela? She says it's even worse. And her entire family have fled Venezuela and are in different countries now, all of them walking miles and miles and miles to get to either Peru or to Colombia or Bolivia. They're scattered, and thousands are leaving. So it's a country, you know, not far, right? It's just, it's on the other side of the Caribbean Sea. It's not, Venezuela's not very far away. Rob and I dive in a place called Bonaire, and it's like 25 kilometers away from Venezuela. It's right there. And, but yet it is a country that has many challenges right now. And for Paula, she has walked many miles and feels very grateful to Yvonne that she has employment, helping serve and work in his coffee shop. And so he hires Brazilian students who also need work. He hires refugees to work in his shop. So it's a ministry that I think is quite profound, and that was part of what Rob and I were engaged with over these last weeks, preaching at his church every week and also reaching out to other groups. I'll talk more about Compassion International, that reaches out and provides care for little kids, 100,000 children in 90 countries around the world. So anyway, that's kind of what we were doing over the last month. But you could be praying for Yvonne and his wife, Christina. Yvonne's brother-in-law, Christina's brother, is dying from cancer in Brazil. And it's a very tough situation. He's just a young guy, really, has still lots of strength, but it's a terminal illness. So it's going on and on and on and on. Funds are low, hard to pay for the necessary care. I mean, just challenges, right? Challenges that we face too. But people that we know in our circles are also facing them. And some of these individuals, that's what's going on in their lives. So a God who daily bears us up in the midst of all of our situations. It can be dramatic stories like that or not so dramatic stories, but we have our challenges. And we're invited to go to God who daily bears us up. So reading some of the texts, again, sorry that we don't have them on the screen for you, but the first few verses, verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 68, that's what I'm reading right now. If you have the red Bible in your pews, that's the text that we're working with. And just note all the names of God, God Lord, that come up in these first verses, 1 to 4. Let God rise up. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. So you hear the repetition of the name God, Elohim. We hear the name Lord, Adonai, God being praised in this psalm as we begin. So what we're calling this first little bit is God who bears this up. And the first point is making God our center. Make God our center, verses 1 to 4. Make him the center. No matter what's going on in your life, make God the pivot point, so that everything else revolves around him. So I'm suggesting that we put the wide lens on our camera so we see the very widest, get a big perspective of what God is doing. And a psalm like this, and there are many psalms of praise, they invite us to give praise to God. They invite us to have grateful hearts. They invite us to worship and adore God. One of the interesting characteristics of Yvonne's coffee shop is that he always has praise music going on. And so everybody who comes in recognizes, and it's mostly Brazilian praise music in Portuguese, because that's who's coming in, the students. But they know when they go in there, they're going to hear praise. And Yvonne's always got praise music going on in his shop and also in his car. He's always listening, and it becomes kind of a heartbeat for him. And that's what we're invited to do in terms of our praise, in spite of the challenges, right? In spite of difficult circumstances, we have to make a choice to give praise to God. A choice, an intentional choice, that in the midst of my challenges, I'm still going to lift my eyes up to the mountains, we sang, Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? He comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's the one. That's a choice. So we're invited to make that choice. We can choose to be ungrateful because of all the hassles in our life, or we can choose to be grateful even in the midst of the challenges. And the psalmist obviously is talking about challenges because in the first couple of verses, he's talking about his enemies. May his enemies flee from before him. So he feels some resistance. He feels some challenges. There are people that he knows and regards as enemies in his life. So we can consider our own lives, you know, like who are our enemies? What are our enemies? And our enemies don't have to be people. They don't have to be persons. Our enemies can be the challenges that we fail and experience in our own life. In fact, they can be part of ourselves. Parts of ourselves that are our own enemies. Our own, you know, hassles, our own propensities to, you know, act out in any way. It could be, a bad temper. It could be an addiction to some form, whatever it might be. It could be jealousy, right? I mean, anything that derails us That can be an enemy in our lives. Could be health issues. Could be challenges within our family. So when the Psalms talk about enemies, it doesn't always just mean people out there, but they can be part of ourselves, our own propensities, our own ways of acting out. We get very tired of it, right? We wish, man, I am so tired of doing whatever, acting out. I don't want that. I want to know God. I want to be grateful. And so we're put on the wide lens to make a choice for all of us. And those choices are going to be different for you and for me. And we might ask, well, what are some of the impediments? What are some of the hurdles to praise? You tell me, what are some of the impediments? What gets in our way so that we don't make choices to praise God? We choose to go negative. Anybody got a suggestion? What's an impediment to praise?
Health issues.
Health issues, yeah. Okay, health issues for sure. What else? What can be an impediment?
Fear.
Fear, yeah. Good one. Fear.
Netflix
can be an impediment. Could be. Depends what you're watching on Netflix. Yeah, you know, I mean, whatever habits we have can be good habits or habits that lead us down a road of more fear, doubt. I think one of the big impediments is anxiety, and particularly anxiety for tomorrow. So it's interesting in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, you know, what does Jesus say? He says, consider the birds of the air. He consider the lilies of the field. You do not have to be anxious. Trust in this God who daily bears me up. But it's interesting how Jesus ends that. He goes on and on about, just maybe you might want to look at Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, if you want to follow me, one of the impediments of following me is being anxious, of worrying all the time. So you know these words, you've heard them. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Then he goes on and says, look at the birds. He then says, look at the lilies of the field. Trust, depend, lean. But I find it interesting how he finally ends. So, verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus is not saying you'll never have troubles, but you have enough of them today, so don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. You'll get to those later. The point being, at the very end of this whole piece on worrying, from Sermon on the Mount, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, he finally ends it by saying, and don't worry about tomorrow. And the reason is it's generally tomorrow that we're worrying about. Many, many of our worries come about what will happen to us tomorrow. Is that not true? What will happen to us next week? What happens in a month from now when I have some health operation or whatever it is? A lot of our concerns are about tomorrow, and Jesus knows that. And so he ends it by saying, hey, I've talked about not being anxious. These are commands, by the way. Don't be, don't be, don't be. And don't be anxious about tomorrow, because he knows the people are the very same then as they are now. That's frequently where we go. We roll around in the future, and we're anxious about tomorrow. And so the anxiety for tomorrow can be what keeps us from making the praise and the choice to praise and know God. So how do we do that? Well, we got to keep staying in the present, right? We got to keep giving God what we have today, a God who daily bears us up. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. Jesus knows that 3 years. He's just starting his ministry. He knows where this whole thing is going. Jesus could be completely derailed for his whole ministry for 3 long years because he knows where it ends up. Just become depressed, anxious, uptight, angry, negative. But he doesn't. He rises above that and stays in the moment to give praise to God. So one of the impediments is anxiety. So you and I need to determine how do we deal with anxiety. Anxiety can be about school, can be about teaching, could be about money, could be whatever, right? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. You've already got enough on your plate. Just stay with that, Jesus says. So making God our center, that's where the psalm begins. Making God our center. Making a choice to know him and praise him and love him. That's the first point. Second point, we have a compassionate God. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. This is verse 5. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. And then verses 9 and 10. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Trusting in our compassionate God. That's the second point. God is known in Israel as the one who provides for orphans and widows. James 1:27 says the same thing. Whatever you do, provide for the orphans and the widows, James says. A third one that we could add there, which the Old Testament scriptures continue to go for, is the foreigner in our midst. The foreigner in our midst. Orphans, protectors, and take care of those who are on their way through your lands. They're part, they don't have the support of all of others. I think of all the refugees who are fleeing Venezuela to go to other countries. Take care of those who are in need, the foreigner. So orphans, widows, the foreigner. That's what we have here. So take care, trusting in our compassionate God. So those verses, taking care of the needy ones. God also taking care of his earth. So how does God take care of? How does God take care of 100,000 children that Compassion International is engaged with? How does God do that? 100,000 people, 100,000 kids in all these different countries, 90 countries around the world. How does he do that? Well, finally, he does it through us. We are God's hands and feet. People, churches, align themselves with Compassion International and take on a number of children and provide for those. So God is saying, hey, if you want me to take care of 100,000 kids around the world, then you're going to have to help me out. Meaning we are his hands and feet. That's how it works. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We are the presence of God in his world, his church, whatever community of faith we're engaged in. So we are called to align ourselves. It's what we've been trying to do with Frontlines over all these years. Be a tangible presence in the community so that we can reach out. You know, for many, many years, Frontlines, we ran Frontlines totally on our own. We did it by ourselves. And the reason why we've shifted to be a little bit more arm's length is because for all the funding purposes, Frontlines can get way more support from government agencies and so on if it's not, quote, the church. So we've intentionally created a model where we work and support Frontlines, but they are able to be broader. They get support from other churches, other agencies. It's all intentional. It's not that we don't have an interest in Frontlines. We have an interest in Frontlines if this is how it works best. That's the picture. So you start, and as the child gets a little older, they're more independent, they're able to do more things on their own. That's exactly the model we presented. Bonnie, for many years, was director over at Frontlines. In those years, Frontlines pretty much operated through Bonnie, and we were very grateful. So it's part of the deal. I mean, you know what? We are the presence of God in the community. So reaching out to the Spanish community around us, church in the afternoon, our Brazilian family church works out and reaches out to those who speak Portuguese in the area and beyond. It's being the compassionate presence of God. That's how we participate, right? So that's what's going on when we hear the text to take care of orphans and widows and the stranger in your midst. Well, that's how it works. We're invited to do that. So to trust in God's compassionate presence. And then that leads us to the third point, which is really the key text that we had Carrie read. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation, verse 19 and 20. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. Note all the repetition there, if you have your Bible, of the word God, of the Lord. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. The psalmist is inviting us to not only make God our center, but to receive our salvation from him, because that's where it comes from. Our salvation comes from God. And then we are to be that compassionate presence to others. Blessed be the Lord. We began our service by praising God for 10,000 reasons, right? All the ways God blesses us and is good to us. Psalmist picks up that very idea. Blessed. Blessing is both ways. We bless God, and God blesses us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We bless God, and God blesses us. And that's what the psalm is about. It's this discourse. It's a conversation of us and God in us. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God will bear us up today. Today. In the city of Cochabamba, there are many people who beg, people who ask for assistance here, Toronto as well. But what is striking in Cochabamba is often they are presented anyway as single moms with little kids. And often it is little kids with an older, maybe grandparent. Or maybe it's just the older woman sitting on the sidewalk and asking for help. Rob was very good about every time we went by someone, Rob was giving Bolivianos to assist. It's beautiful. If you're begging each day, how do you do that? I mean, it seems to me you have to just beg for that day. You're on the sidewalk, you're trusting. You know how many coins you need to get through the day, and you hang in there, trusting and depending and leaning in God until you get your coins. See what I mean? You can't worry about tomorrow. I got to get through today. I need the bread for today. The Lord's Prayer is the very same. Lord, we ask for our bread today. God who daily bears us up. The challenge, again, is we run to the future all the time. We want God not only to provide today, but we want God to provide for our whole next year, right? We want all of our problems solved today so that I don't have to worry about anything for the whole next year. That's not how the Lord's Prayer goes. Give us this day our daily bread. This day. This day. So we don't know what's going on finally with our big project next door. I mean, we've been working on it for 10 years. We may work on it for another 10 years. We have to just keep going to God day by day, leaning, depending, trusting for what comes. So, and it's the same with our own lives. Same for worries about our our children, our grandkids. It's very sad, Doreen Showers losing her grandson. So suddenly like that, like, wow, that's devastating. You can't imagine that, right? You can't picture what's coming up 6 months from now, a year from now. We don't know. Our invitation is to stay where we are. God, who daily bears us up. That's where we're going. That's what we're intending to do. And the Lord is our salvation. He's the one who saves us. I like what it says at the end here, that it says that God frees us from death. See that in Psalm 68? Verse 20, our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. It's a powerful verse. To God the Lord belongs escape from death. You know what? There's 1,000 ways and more to enter death. Being hit by a car on a bike is one. Getting in a car accident is another. Having a health issue and dying, protracted or short, is another. There's a million ways to die, right? Psalmist is recognizing that. But there's only one way to escape. There's a million ways to enter death and one way to escape death. And what's that way? God is our salvation. In the New Testament, Jesus is Lord. And he breaks through the death barrier, and we follow with him in faith and journey with him. A million ways to enter, one way to exit. And so the hope for you and for me is that we receive that salvation that God gives to us. We daily go to him, but ultimately our trust in our big picture, the big camera, right? The wide lens on the camera is to keep holding on to Jesus. We move from Psalm 68 into the New Testament. Trust, and don't worry about tomorrow. Lean on God, because he is the one who bears us up and finally frees us from the snares of death. Yesterday, I guess it's going on today too. We were up at a friend's cottage, and the British Open was on, the golf tournament. And it was being played in Portrush, which is just outside of Belfast. I was born in Belfast. And all my family still lives in Belfast, and some of them live in Portrush. And so I was thinking, wow, because my uncle, who died just not too long ago, was a golfer of some sort. He was a golfer. He mainly used it as relationship building for his business. But he used to play right around that area, Portrush. And then I was thinking, well, my uncle's dead. And my mom has passed. And my dad has passed. And other Irish uncles and people I know have passed. But the Lord is the one who gives us escape from death. And I was sitting there thinking, like, hey, maybe they're all with Uncle Tom and they're watching the Irish play golf in Portrush. I don't know what they're doing, but they're together and they support one another. The communion of the saints, right? That's what we believe is our understanding of our trust in God. The communion of saints. The church is not made up just of the living, but of the living and the dead. We are all together praising God. So a million ways to enter, only one way to come out, and that's in Jesus Christ. So we are to hold on to him. Keep holding on to Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. The God who daily bears us up. So I don't know what you're facing this week. Maybe you've got a great week and it's just going to be smooth sailing. Terrific. Maybe you've got some challenges. And you see that coming, man. Wednesday, that there's a challenge right there and you know it's coming. God is the one who bears us up. God is the one who will give you the strength to get through Wednesday when Wednesday comes. And the same for me. The same for all of us. A God who bears us up. We trust in his name. In Jesus' name. Amen.